The line allowed to get a little longer. More Ontarians now able to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. The expansion of eligibility as appointments are snapped up.
That increase in availability thanks to an increase in supply, much of it from Pfizer. But tonight, why comments from a member of the provincial government are raising questions. Good evening. As Ontario hits a new record for vaccinations in a single day, some remarks from a cabinet minister are drawing criticism.
That associate minister seemingly questioning the effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine as part of the government's appeal to tighten travel rules. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
And Nathan, the Ford government has been trying to change the channel, focusing on variants of concern and how they get into our province. It was in that context that the comment was made, casting some doubt on the effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine. After vaccinating a record 141,000 people in a single day, Ontario is on pace to inoculating 60% of the adult population by the end of the month.
We will start to see now more and more a change in behavior, and this will, you know, just increase the steepness of the curve downwards.
All of that is possible because Ontario is expecting to receive 7 million doses of the Pfizer vaccine alone over the next 8 weeks. But today, an Ontario cabinet minister raised questions about the effectiveness of the Pfizer shot.
The study out of Qatar states that it's, you know, the Pfizer's one shot is only 30% effective against the variant that originates out of the UK.
That suggestion about Pfizer's effectiveness comes from a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It found that among nearly 40,000 people tested in Qatar, one dose of Pfizer was 29.5% effective against the UK variant, which is dominant in Ontario. Two doses increased the effectiveness to 90%. That same study found Pfizer is highly effective at protecting people from severe infection and death. But the study's author says he doesn't believe the Qatar data is applicable to Canada's situation because of the differences in the length of time between doses in the two countries. And Ontario's own health officials are expressing confidence in the vaccine.
We have seen significant protection from the first dose based upon data that we saw as recently as today and over earlier this week.
Even after one dose, the experience in Ontario has been very good.
Sarkaria cited the Qatar study to highlight the dangers of the variants and to argue for strict border controls. And today, the Ontario Progressive Conservative Party launched a new campaign-style commercial to that effect.
Trudeau didn't close the borders when the pandemic started. He didn't close the borders when it got worse. Nobody wants a fourth wave.
But critics say the government is unwittingly sowing doubts about vaccines to achieve a political objective.
I think it's irresponsible for the minister who does not have expertise in the efficacy of vaccines to be providing information like that that could undermine people's confidence in vaccines.
The government said it's simply about better border protections to keep out the variants. Ontario's vaccination campaign has been making strides. Today, the Associate Medical Officer of Health was asked if that means the economy can start to reopen at the end of this month. She said she would be surprised if things start opening up at the end of May, saying the government doesn't want to move prematurely and therefore trigger a fourth wave of COVID-19. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Colin. Across the province, the Ministry of Health says more than 141,000 doses were administered yesterday, and more than 5.7 million shots have been given out since the start of the rollout. More than 384,000 people in Ontario are now considered vaccinated. Next to Peel, where this is the day many in that hard-hit region have been waiting for.
Everyone 18 and older able to book their shot, and demand is high. CTV's Sean Lethon is live in Mississauga tonight with more. Sean.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, the goals are high as well. Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie saying that Peel Region needs to get back on its feet first in order for Ontario to get back on its feet. And she says their goal by the end of this month is to vaccinate 75% of residents with their first shot.
In the line stretching around this mass vaccination clinic in Mississauga today, there is some youthful energy.
So excited. Can't wait. Ready to get in there. Show my arm.
Because today is the first day that anyone 18 and older is eligible to book a vaccination in Peel Region.
I'm so excited. I see a light at the end of the tunnel, finally.
18-year-old Anthony Mazuka says he was surprised to be eligible this fast.
I thought I'd have to wait so much longer, but I'm happy that they kind of sped it up.
On Monday, anyone 18 and older who is living in a hot spot became eligible to get the shot. Yesterday, Peel Region announced that would be expanded.
We decided, let's open the floodgates.
Currently, the vast majority of Peel Region is already considered a hotspot. This will add 8 more postal codes to that eligibility list.
Those postal codes are L4V, L4Y, L5E, L5G, L5H, L5J, L7E, and L7K. To book, anyone already living in a hotspot is being told to use the provincial website or hotline. Anyone in Peel who is not in a designated hotspot is being told to use the Peel Region website or hotline.
I'm hoping that we'll hit at least 75% by the end of May.
At the current rate, Peel is administering around 15,000 shots per day. They hope this will allow them to ramp up to over 20,000 shots per day.
If you're doing 20,000 a day, 140,000 a week, that means probably adding another 400,000, 500,000 people by the end of May, provided that everyone does their part.
19-year-old Olivia Porcelano says she's happy to do hers.
To keep my family safe, myself safe, and we can get back to normal soon.
Knowing that normal is still a ways off, those in line say there is a feeling that this is the start of something.
It's the start of a nice closing to a terrible chapter.
Many of the people we spoke with today talked about just wanting to be able to see their friends again. They also talked about having jobs in areas like working in grocery stores, and they're excited once they get their second dose to be able to meet friends and possibly travel. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lithong. Michelle, send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. And a reminder, our online team has a full rundown of the current vaccine eligibility along with a timeline of where Ontario is heading. You can find all that information at ctvnewstoronto.ca/vaccines.
After 2 days below the 3,000 mark, the province is reporting 3,424 new cases today. That means Ontario has seen more than 483,000 infections since the start of the pandemic. 26 more deaths are linked to COVID-19, putting that figure at 8,213. And more than 440,000 illnesses are now considered resolved.
And here's how the new cases are distributed. 958 are added in Toronto, with 900 in Peel Region. There are 291 new cases in York Region, 175 in Durham, and 155 in Hamilton. Halton Region has 129 new cases, with 127 in Niagara. More provinces will start vaccinating younger people, but does Canada have enough doses?
And there's growing concern on the East Coast, where the region's worst outbreak shows no signs of letting up. CTV's Vanessa Lee reports.
Nova Scotia is again shattering a single-day high with 182 new infections. The premier says he is considering even tougher travel restrictions to curb the spread of the virus.
The order that I signed last week, it is more restrictive than it was last year. Citizens must stay in their communities. We have imposed $2,000 fines for anyone who leaves their counties to travel.
Quebec has announced it will offer a first dose of the vaccine to children 12 to 17 by the end of June, with the second shot coming before the school year this fall.
And I want to say to teenagers, please get vaccinated. That's the way to get liberty. Think they want to see their friends, and the best way to do it is to get vaccinated.
And deliveries are expected to ramp up in the coming weeks.
We have now reached that big lift period where weekly deliveries are more significant, and this should bring us to approximately 25 million doses by the end of May.
With Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, officials say they know it's going to be difficult for Canadians to stay home, but stress it is the best way to protect mom. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Meanwhile, the Canadian government is now supporting an initiative to allow any pharmaceutical manufacturers in the world to make copycat vaccines.
Canada will actively participate in negotiations to waive intellectual property protection, particular to COVID-19 vaccines under the WTO TRIPS agreement on TRIPS.
So Canada now participating in talks to waive global rules that protect vaccine trade secrets. The move follows a U.S. decision yesterday to take part. Lifting patents could make it easier for poorer countries to import expertise, equipment, and ingredients to make their own vaccines.
Still to come, would you be willing to have a vaccine passport? Countries around the world are considering documents which could lead to the return of international travel. More on what that could look like in Canada. But first, the forecast, Lindsay, a nice day, and hopefully this trend continues.
Well, it's going to continue at least through this evening, Nathan. We've had beautiful sunshine, comfortable temperatures, but look what's waiting in the wings. Now, I know it looks maybe a little more threatening than it's going to be, but we have a chance of showers as we make our way through the day tomorrow. I'll show you why it's not looking like a washout coming up in your forecast. Winds today have been coming out of the west and now currently the northwest. A little bit of a breeze out there, keeping conditions cool in some areas, but we may managed to make it to that forecast daytime high of 14 degrees at Pearson International. It's currently 13, and we've got another frost advisory in effect. We'll talk more about this and the rest of your forecast coming up. For now, Michelle, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Peel police are trying to figure out what led to a child's death yesterday afternoon in Brampton. Emergency crews were called to a home near Countyside Drive and Torbram Road. They were responding to a medical call involving a child. No details have been released on the child's age or gender. Police could be seen speaking with a woman and a man soon afterwards. Neighbors say a husband and wife and three children live in the home.
Also in Brampton, a woman is dead after a serious crash overnight. Two vehicles collided on Winston Churchill, north of Steeles. The victim died at the scene. There's still no word on whether any charges will be laid.
Elsewhere, Durham police have identified two victims in a deadly crash in Ajax as a 42-year-old Whitby man and a 49-year-old woman from Ajax. The multi-vehicle crash happened early yesterday evening along Salem Road between Rossland and Carrison Drive. Two other people went to hospital.
A fourth arrest has been made in a deadly shooting last month in the Toronto's northwest area. It happened April 16th near Jane and Queens Drive. 21-year-old Dre Hugh Wilson from Durham was injured in the shooting and died in hospital. Three suspects had already been charged with second-degree murder. Today, police arrested 21-year-old Ainsley McNaught and charged him with second-degree murder as well. From a firefight to a legal fight, this blaze at York Memorial Collegiate from 2019 is now the focus of a lawsuit.
The incident displacing nearly 900 students. CTV's John Musselman is live with more. John.
Well, it's certainly a fire many viewers will remember happening here behind me. Now that legal fight is going on between the city and the school board.
The massive fire broke out on the morning of May 7th, 2 years ago. The 90-year-old school was gutted, displacing 900 students. The Ontario Fire Marshal investigation determined the fire was accidental. Still, the Toronto District School Board has launched a $90 million lawsuit against the City of Toronto, the province, and the Police Services Board, alleging the fire was the result of negligence. According to the claim, the day before the massive fire, there was a smaller fire in the auditorium at the school. It was put out by firefighters, but the suit alleges the small fire was still burning behind the walls and floor, which led to what happened the next day. Quote, the decision of the TFS, TPS, and OFM to abandon the building on the evening of May 6, 2019, without ensuring a proper fire watch was in place, was driven primarily by cost concerns of senior personnel, including a desire to reduce overtime costs and purported lack of adequate resources. Today, the city responded with a letter sent to Karen Faulkner, the interim director of education. It was written by city manager Chris Murray. Quote, I am compelled to express my extreme disappointment in the baseless and irresponsible allegations made against Fire Chief Matthew Pegg. I am also appalled at the calculated public release of this claim yesterday by the TDSB, which contained these allegations. In my view, it could only have been intended to cause unwarranted harm for some undisclosed strategic benefit. The city and Chief Pegg categorically repudiate the allegations contained in your statement of claim. We denounce the carelessness shown by the TDSB and its insurers in this matter. Most importantly, we affirm our confidence in Chief Pegg and his professionalism. The lawsuit involves a taxpayer-supported entity, the school board, and its insurer, filing a lawsuit against three separate taxpayer-supported entities and their insurers. None of the allegations have been tested in court.
And the TDSB just released a statement just a few minutes ago saying that the allegations outlined in their statement of claim are larger than any one person and they're based on extensive and thorough investigation by the TDSB property insurers. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, John. The Ontario Liberals have announced plans to introduce licensed daycare, if elected, at a cost of $10 a day for all children up to age four.
Here's what that means. On average, for the families of Ontario who use that service, it's approximately a savings of $2,300 for every child every single year.
The reduced fees would be in line with the federal Liberal budget's plan for child care. The Ford government says it welcomes increased support on that front, but Ontario doesn't need a one-size-fits-all approach.
Some developing news in federal politics. The Prime Minister's Chief of Staff will testify before the House of Commons Defense Committee. Katie Telford has written members offering to appear at their meeting tomorrow. The committee is studying allegations of sexual misconduct against Canada's former top military commander. Opposition parties have been demanding she testify to explain an apparent discrepancy. Justin Trudeau claimed his office did not know a complaint against then-Defense Chief General Jonathan Vance involved sexual misconduct, but other testimony and emails suggested it did know. Around the world, countries are inching closer to a full reopening are considering implementing vaccine passports.
And in the U.S., individual cities and states are looking at requiring proof of immunization for big events. CTV's Natalie Johnson joins us live with the latest. Natalie.
Hi, Nathan. Well, it is still early days for this type of talk in Toronto, but certainly at the local level, some discussions are starting to be had about whether any kind of proof of immunization might be required domestically. That is as the federal framework for international travel is being set.
As travelers headed out of Toronto today, there were a lot of feelings among flyers about the idea of a vaccine passport.
We are facing the crisis. So I think this is a good step.
They need to give us the right to decide if you want to have a vaccine or a passport vaccine, because it's all about freedom.
Ottawa has said that it is working on a type of certification that would allow vaccinated Canadians to travel abroad again, and that Canada could require incoming international travelers to prove they've been immunized. The EU has already announced plans for a digital certificate that provides proof of protection.
What will be important for the tourism industry is the harmonization of that documentation around the world so that people can travel freely and not only enter different countries and jurisdictions, but also be able to enter some of the businesses in those jurisdictions.
And already elsewhere, individual businesses and attractions are laying out the groundwork for various forms of a localized vax pass.
Extra giddy up on a fastball.
In New York, there are plans for professional baseball stadiums to be divided into sections where vaccinated fans can gather without restrictions and where those who haven't been immunized need to remain masked and spread out.
I think it's going to have more people attending games.
In Chicago, a series of concerts will only be available to fully vaccinated people, and Harvard University will be requiring its students to be fully immunized before returning to campus. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association says there is a big difference between requiring a vaccine passport for international travel versus for day-to-day domestic activities.
If we're going to cut off much of society to anyone who hasn't been vaccinated, then I think we're undermining the extent to which being vaccinated is a true choice.
Back at the airport, a lot of opinion on whether evidence of immunization should be required.
I think it's a very dangerous move. It's going to create a two-tier system.
And if you don't want to get vaccinated, then don't. But then you have to realize if they're going to put the limitations in place, that's the choice you make.
A choice that, down the road, could require proof.
Now, in response to questions to the province today about what kind of vaccine passport the government might support, a spokesperson would only say that experts are working to develop a plan to safely reopen the economy. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Michelle, over to you.
Thank you, Natalie. In India, the government will provide more medical oxygen to hospitals in New Delhi under order by the Supreme Court. The court intervened after 12 COVID-19 patients died last week at a hospital that ran out of oxygen for nearly an hour and a half. Last night, 11 others died when pressure in an oxygen supply line stopped working at a government hospital. Canada is providing assistance as the crisis worsens in India, including $10 million for the Indian Red Cross.
The Red Cross has been really involved providing ambulance services, providing blood services, thousands of Red Cross volunteers making sure they are reaching the most vulnerable, making sure they are, helping the elderly in various, needs that they have.
A Canadian military plane was loaded with crucial medical supplies at CFB Trenton yesterday. Up to 25,000 vials of the antiviral drug remdesivir are being sent to India. So are up to 350 ventilators from Canada's emergency stockpile. Today, the number of new cases in India surpassed 400,000 for the second time since the devastating surge began last month.
Meanwhile, a plane will leave Toronto tomorrow carrying 300 oxygen concentrators for India. It's part of a campaign started by the Gupta Family Foundation.
Help is pouring in. My whole family is really floored with gratitude. It's so amazing how many people have so much care and sympathy for what's going on over there.
Dr. Steve Gupta is hoping there might be another shipment next week. He says supplies are consolidated here after being gathered from across North America. Disaster relief authorities remain on alert in Guatemala tonight. A volcano showing renewed activity following what had been one of its most active periods in recent years. A new fissure has opened up on its northwest flank. It's feeding a lava flow up to 2,300 meters long that descends toward the foothills. No communities are currently at risk, but the direction the flow may take is uncertain. And more lava flows have not been ruled out.
It is another first for SpaceX. The company has successfully tested the rocket it hopes will take people to the moon and beyond. The Starship prototype was launched and landed in a high-altitude test in Texas. It was the fifth attempt. The others were not as successful, all ending in explosions. SpaceX has a contract with NASA to use the next-generation launch vehicle to carry astronauts and large cargo payloads to the moon by 2024 and eventually to Mars. A first orbital Starship flight is planned for year's end. In the UK, members of the royal family are wishing Harry and Meghan's son a happy second birthday. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex posted this photo to mark the occasion. Archie is the couple's first child and is seventh in line for the throne. The Queen also had a message today for her great-grandson, wishing Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor a very happy second birthday. And proud grandfather Prince Charles posted a photo of himself with Harry and Archie. The toddler has lived with his parents in California since last year.
Still to come, as vaccinations ramp up, people's post-pandemic dreams are one step closer to reality. What's the first thing you'll do when things return to normal?
I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, it's something almost all of us have, but are the ones you're using strong enough? They're passwords, and a new survey finds that many people are still using passwords that are too easy to guess, leaving them open to being hacked. We speak with a security expert. All of that story just ahead.
A lovely weather day today, but it was a chilly start around southern Ontario. The temperature in Toronto early on, 2 degrees. Some communities right around freezing. Areas like Muskoka, Barrie, and Bancroft below that threshold. And it could be a bit of a repeat in some areas through the night tonight. Potential for frost near Goderich. But here's the thing. We're also looking at a few showers moving in, and that could reduce the potential for frost. With this colder air, maybe a little bit of mixing possible tomorrow also. And then Saturday, we are below seasonal once again. But there are improvements when it comes to your weekend weather forecast. We'll talk all about it coming up here. CTV News will be back in 2 minutes.
Today is World Password Day, a day to encourage everyone to create more secure passwords to protect their personal information.
Many people continue to use passwords that are too easy to guess, which makes them a target for hackers. Pat Foran has some advice on Consumer Alert. Pat.
I do, Michelle and Nathan. Even though many people know they shouldn't use the names of their children, pets, or birthdays, they do it anyway. And some use the same passwords on multiple websites. Experts say you should only use complex passwords and never use the same one twice.
I probably have over 200 passwords right now in my keychain.
Chad Lacani of Ajax works in IT and reminds his family and friends to use strong passwords to keep their information secure to avoid being hacked. He uses a password manager. With it, you remember the master password and it remembers the rest.
I highly encourage everyone to use a password manager. I think it's the simplest and most effective way of solving this problem for most people is just to use a password manager.
While more users recognize the importance of strong passwords, a survey by Cyber News found the most common passwords in 2021 didn't require much thought, including 123456 and the word password.
Getting people to use a strong password is one thing. Getting them to store them correctly is another.
Dave Lewis with Cisco Systems says hackers are constantly scouring the web checking social media for password hints, such as street names, pets, and birthdays. You should never use a password on more than one site because if it gets hacked, you could leave your other accounts vulnerable. A strong password should not be a dictionary word or combination of words. It should have 12 characters, numbers, symbols, capital, and lowercase letters. You can store passwords in a password manager and use multi-factor authentication, meaning at least two steps are required to enter a website or program.
This is just one example of a push-based technology that adds that extra layer so that you're not relying simply on a username and password in order to access your accounts.
Lewis advises to always watch emails for suspicious links, which may be phishing to try and get you to reveal your passwords.
And passwords for computer programs have been around for 60 years, and some experts say it's time to do away with them. They say biometrics such as fingerprints, voice, and facial recognition are safer and more difficult for thieves to hack. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
What a treat seeing some blue sky today. It could be a bit warmer for this time of year, but that sunshine makes a difference.
It is great, and the sun is still out, Lindsay.
It is. We will enjoy it for another couple of hours at this point. But as we make our way into the day tomorrow, there will be an increase in cloud cover. And see that wet weather that's starting to approach? We've got some of that in our forecast, but it's not going to be an all-day event. Weather is brought to you by Trane. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it's hard to stop a Trane. The low-pressure system, it's a big one, but for the most part, it is going to drift to our south. For us in the greater Toronto area, we're going to be grazed essentially by this system. So it's going to bring us the potential for showers during the day tomorrow and likely some cloud cover. But I do feel as though the afternoon is going to be a little bit brighter. So it's not all bad news. Here's a look at our forecast radar. Just a heads up, waking up tomorrow morning, communities to the north and west of Toronto at a higher elevation could experience a little bit of mixing. Remember that colder air that we were talking about? Maybe some grapple in there, a couple of wet snowflakes, but nothing too significant. Just don't want you to be too alarmed if that's what you see. Hamilton to Niagara, it's looking like a little bit more of a sure thing that you will see showers, but notice how we are right on the cusp here in the city of Toronto. Potential for wet weather continuing around the noon hour. Then we start to see some clearing. So by this time tomorrow, the sun could be back out. But again, some cloud is going to mix in there. Chance of showers really lingering through the majority of the day in southwest Ontario, and then perhaps into the day on Saturday in the east. Saturday morning's not looking too bad for us, but it is going to be chilly once again. And already we see signs again of some mixed precipitation to our west. And then the daytime hours on Saturday bring us a chance of a passing shower. We're going to update this because Toronto ended up briefly making it to a high of 14 degrees. Not bad at all for this time of year. It's still below seasonal, but compared to what we've just recently experienced, we'll take it. Overnight low tonight is about 5 degrees. Again, just a shade below seasonal. Goderich, Stratford, you are among the communities included in a frost advisory for tonight. Around home tomorrow, again, more unsettled at the start of the day. Improving conditions by the end of it. And then this weekend, looks like the temperatures are going to start to climb once again. Mother's Day is looking pretty pleasant at this point. A little cool, 12 degrees, but a mix of sun and cloud. It looks like we might see our temperature slowly start to climb to about 15 degrees by the middle part of next week. That's your weather for now. Michelle and Nathan, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Now to Toronto Together. A registered early childhood educator is creating her own videos to educate and entertain.
Diana Hollister's work closed last March, but that didn't stop her from reaching out to her students.
She's providing that little bit more for kids that we might not think of, right? And she's just so wonderful. And her voice is like, she's a little bit like Robert Munsch, without saying she's Robert Munsch, right? Like she's got the theatrical part of it in her.
Hollister tells stories about Ricky the Dragon, his friends, and their adventures. She says the videos are educational, but also meant as an escape for young children.
This is my way of giving back. And last year I did the stories This year, I was thinking about, we always used to talk about how children learn through play. And my idea of learning through play was making it fun, but making it educational. So I came up with the idea of these puppets. Today
is Earth. Hollister also includes interactive elements in her videos, including sing-alongs and instructions on how to build some of her props.
Coming up, why bees could be the newest weapon in the fight against COVID-19, how the insects are helping researchers with their work.
So-called quarantine hotels have proven to be high-risk areas for virus transmission.
And now researchers from York University are looking at ways to reduce that danger. Our health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
Professor Marina Frere-Gormley's team has been looking at ways to improve safety after recent outbreaks linked to quarantine hotels.
I think because the concentration of people is a lot higher than most offices now.
One of the measures the York U team is recommending is N95 masks for travelers and staff in the hotel setting.
In the check-in process, for example, they might be quite close and in quite a contained area.
N95 masks offer a tighter weave and better fit to prevent leakage of aerosols. And Professor Frere-Gormley says N95 seem to be in good supply right now. Another recommendation, better training of cleaning staff, especially to deal with areas where air particulates tend to accumulate. This animation of a maskless patient in an intensive care unit shows that aerosols are drawn to air vents. But while negative pressure hospital rooms can filter out harmful particulates, hotels may have to upgrade their ventilation systems. And hotels should plan staff meal breaks more carefully.
One time when we're not wearing our masks is when we're eating. And as we eat, our saliva starts being produced at a faster rate so that we can break down the food. But this also means that we end up producing more droplets and more aerosols.
And people tend to talk on their meal or smoking breaks, adding to a much higher risk of spreading COVID-19. As for hopes that Canadians will soon be traveling for pleasure again, Frere-Gormley says just be cautious and take responsibility for your own safety and that of those around you.
They do have agency to minimize their own risk.
Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Experts now say we may never reach herd immunity against COVID-19, but it won't prevent a return to something similar to pre-pandemic life. Herd immunity is achieved when enough people are immune to a virus, either through vaccinations, infections, or a combination of both. Scientists say COVID is so widespread around the globe that it will likely keep circulating and mutating. Still, it's expected vaccines will crater transmission rates and make outbreaks easier to address.
In the Netherlands, researchers are training bees to detect the coronavirus. Bees have an unusually keen sense of smell, and the university's scientists have discovered they can pinpoint infected samples of COVID-19. The researchers say that could cut the waiting time for test results to mere seconds. The method is also cheap, making it useful for countries where testing is scarce.
The Canadian Olympic Committee says it expects to get access to vaccines being donated by Pfizer and BioNTech. The companies are providing doses as part of an International Olympic Committee program to inoculate athletes and officials for the Tokyo Games. The COC says about 1,100 of its athletes, coaches, and officials could be helped by the donation. Delivery is set to begin this month. The IOC already has a deal to buy Chinese vaccines, but the Pfizer agreement gives it greater coverage worldwide. The games are scheduled to open July 23rd.
The New York Rangers have been fined $250,000 after calling for the resignation of the NHL's head of player safety. Commissioner Gary Bettman says public comments of the nature issued by the Rangers that were personal in nature and demeaning of a league executive will not be tolerated. New York was incensed after repeat offender Tom Wilson was not suspended for throwing one Ranger to the ice and injuring another Monday night. The Rangers put out a statement saying George Parros was unfit to remain in his job. Last night, there were six fights in the first 5 minutes as New York played Washington again. The teams racked up a combined 141 penalty minutes.
The Bell Let's Talk Diversity Fund has announced new funding to support mental health in multicultural communities across Canada. $750,000 in new commitments will go towards expanding access to mental health services in BIPOC communities. It's coming in the form of grants for six organizations in Ontario, Quebec, and British Columbia. The Diversity Fund has now disbursed $2.25 million in grants since it launched in July of 2020. Bell is the parent company of CTV.
After leaving rehab in February, comedian John Mulaney is returning to the stand-up circuit in New York City. Mulaney will do a four-day residency at Manhattan's City Winery starting next Monday. It's called John Mulaney From Scratch, and it's already sold out. It will be a series of in-person performances with all attendees and staff either fully vaccinated or with proof of a recent negative COVID-19 test.
We mentioned last night that Broadway is set to reopen in September, and now several shows are confirming they'll be ready to hit the ground running. Listen up, let me tell you a story. Six, the musical was set to open in March of 2020. The show tells the story of the wives of Henry VIII. It will now start performances this September. Phantom of the Opera has announced plans to raise its curtain once again in October.
The producers behind horror movie A Quiet Place have put out a call to the public, asking them to come see the sequel in person.
It's very exciting to be able to come back to the theaters to see A Quiet Place 2 because it was always designed for a theatrical experience.
That message from director John Krasinski is, of course, aimed at people where movie theaters are open. A Quiet Place Part 2 was one of the first major films to have its release pushed back because of the pandemic last year. It hits theaters where possible on May 28th.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
CTV Tonight. Sit back and relax. We've got another awesome lineup ready to go. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
Want to show mom you really care this Mother's Day? Tomorrow, DIY expert Denise Wild will be here to share some crafting ideas for kids that add a personal touch to this special occasion. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
We will start to see now more and more a change in behavior, and this will, you know, just increase the steepness of the curve downwards.
Updating our top stories, the province set a single-day vaccination record yesterday, putting it on pace to vaccinate 60% of the adult population by the end of the month.
I thought I'd have to wait so much longer, but I'm happy that they kind of sped it up.
All Peel residents 18 and older are now eligible for their COVID-19 vaccination. Health officials hope at least 75% of residents will have their first shot by the end of May.
Dangerous move. It's going to create a two-tier system.
And if you don't want to get vaccinated, then don't. But then you have to realize if they're going to put the limitations in place, that's the choice you make.
Ottawa is considering a potential vaccine passport, which would allow Canadians to travel abroad. It comes as countries around the world adopt similar strategies as they lay the framework for a return to normal.
Don't forget to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. Turning to long-term care during the pandemic and the fallout from a recent report.
There are calls for charges after it was revealed some residents died of neglect, malnutrition, and dehydration. That's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. Make that. We're joined by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Reshmi Nair. Reshmi, you're going to be hearing from a woman whose father died at Orchard Villa.
Kathy Parks lost her father in Orchard Villa from COVID-19. She only learned that he had COVID-19 weeks after he passed away. She's going to join us following the final report from the Long-Term Care Commission. And we're going to talk about the details with an advocacy group as well about the legalities and any criminal implications that came out of this final report. Nathan, stay with us for that discussion.
And Nick, the Ford government is taking direct aim at the feds in a new ad criticizing Ottawa's COVID-19 response. You have a political panel to weigh in.
That's right, Michelle. We saw it in Colin's story earlier tonight. You saw a snippet of it. We're going to run the ad and then break it down. We'll let a political panel. And if the panel includes people who work on ad campaigns, so take a look at why now, why go after the feds instead of their opposition at Queen's Park, and whether it will be effective in potentially turning things around for the Ford government, who have certainly had a struggle at least these past 3 weeks or so.
All right. Thank you, Nick and Reshmi. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar gained 69 basis points to close at 82.22 U.S. American benchmark oil slid 75 cents a barrel to close at 64.88. And the TSX Composite Index lost 20 points to close at 19,291.
The Federal Housing Agency says Canada's housing market is likely to stay heated this year before eventually slowing down. The Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation predicts the average national home price will rise by as much as 14% in 2021. The agency says sales could slow down by the end of 2023 as mortgage rates rise and slower sales are expected to moderate price growth. The CMHC report suggested sales could slow earlier in the GTA, as soon as next year. And multi-platform writer Sean Davidson has compiled a list of Ontario's most affordable cities to buy a home. You can find his coverage on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. Cineplex says it lost nearly $90 million in its latest quarter, while COVID-19 continues to weigh down the movie theater industry. The cinema chain says a majority of its theaters were either closed or operating under strict public health rules. That carried over to audience figures. 415,000 people saw a movie in theaters in the first 3 months of 2021, compared to 10.7 million in the same period the year before. Cineplex has reached deals with lenders in hopes of shoring up its finances.
Meanwhile, Nintendo is reporting strong sales as a boom in video gaming during the first months of this pandemic stays strong. The Japanese company reported $1.3 billion in income over the first quarter, nearly double analyst forecasts. Nintendo also beat projections for sales of its Switch console over the last year. But that pace could slow down as the global microchip shortage threatens production of the gaming device.
After the break, looking ahead to post-pandemic plans, people's priorities for a world beyond COVID-19.
Tonight we hear from healthcare workers still waiting for their second vaccine.
It definitely weighs on you.
As the rollout accelerates, the delay on doses for the front lines. That's coming up later on CTV National News. Hope you'll join us.
Coming up on CP24 tonight, pandemic politics. Reaction as the Ontario PC Party calls out Trudeau's COVID response. And long-term consequences. Should neglectful homes face criminal charges? A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Finally, tonight, looking ahead to back to normal, days without masks, lockdowns, or self-isolation.
Right. You may have seen a new ad to that effect in your social media feed, and it has some thinking about their own dreams. Here's CTV's Scott Lightfoot.
If this chewing gum commercial is to be believed, Canadians are extra ready to sink their teeth into post-pandemic freedoms. But with many still living a lockdown life, are people dreaming of throwing caution to the wind?
I have no clue. I take day by day.
But when that day comes, a Maru public opinion survey of more than 1,500 Canadians says that one-third of them have one thing that they want to do first.
I want to party. I want to see my friends. I want to have dinner parties, and I want to enjoy and love everybody.
30% of respondents said they want to attend large gatherings with friends and, of course, family.
I want to see my dad and my brother.
Visit grandma and grandpa.
As for the second most popular idea,
traveling.
Where do you want to go?
Greece.
Oh, well, to Europe, Germany. That's where I like to travel to.
Not a beach?
A beach? There's a lot of beach here. So, yeah, no, not necessarily. Yeah.
Taking a flight out of Canada is a priority for 16% of those asked. The third most popular idea could be enjoyed closer to home.
I would like to go to the bar and play darts with my friends that I miss so much.
Dining in a restaurant with friends made the top three, followed by taking a road trip outside of Canada, something just under 10% of people say they want to do.
I guess just play some sports, some outdoor activities, really and truly, some soccer, some basketball, stuff like that.
Getting outside and enjoying the outdoors also made the list.
Go and play in the park with no wearing mask.
With 7% of respondents saying they look forward to enjoying the outdoors at a busy beach or park. Shopping indoors in a mall or store made the list. So too did seeing a new movie in theaters. People also want to get back to sporting events and concerts and enjoying a spa day or maybe just getting a haircut, as well as working out in a gym or fitness class. It seems there's no shortage of ideas for what people plan to do post-lockdown and how they'd like to spend their summer. But for now, hope springs eternal. Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
I miss all that, especially going to a restaurant with friends and going to the gym.
Family, and more family. And maybe I'll inch closer to you, but not yet.
Not yet.
Lindsay, I don't think the weather is going to matter. When things go back to normal, people are getting out.
Rain, shine, snow, any of it, they'll be outside. Of course, right now, safely, we can spend some time outside, and this will be a good evening to do it. You can see the rain across southwestern Ontario. The bulk of this is going to take a dive to our south, but we are looking at some unsettled conditions through the day tomorrow, mainly in the morning hours and the early part of the afternoon. By this time tomorrow evening, improvements. And the weekend is looking a little brighter as well. Temperatures remain cooler than normal for this time of year, with some signs of a little bit of a warm-up through the middle part of next week. That's the 7-day forecast. Nathan and Michelle, back to you.
All right, thanks, Lindsay. And be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
And you can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Reshmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.